Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Naughty Little Wishes by Nina Crespo, narrated by Mia Madison. Chapter 1. Andrew Bode swore under his breath. Why was she in town, and what the hell was she doing in his lobby? The face of the guard at the security checkpoint filled in the details. He felt the man's pain. Double-shot whiskey trouble flipped dark auburn hair over her shoulder and propped a hand on her hip. Stilettos added length to her toned legs. A teal dress hugged feminine curves. A light Texas accent sang through her words. In her wacky world, opinions masqueraded as reason. Rules didn't exist. Rational choices? Hell no. He'd learned about Tabitha Drake the hard way. His security contractors lived and worked throughout the United States and around the world. A week-long training exercise at Bodwin's headquarters in the Cape 2 months ago provided the perfect opportunity for some of his elite team to socialize with friends and bring their significant others to a barbecue. Unable to join them for a full day at the park, he'd stopped by before his meeting. From the moment Ethan had introduced her as a close acquaintance of his girlfriend, passing through on her way to Dallas, they'd stood on opposite ends of every issue imaginable. Android versus Apple, Aggies versus Gators, charcoal versus gas. He'd mentioned not eating sweets, and she'd argued the virtues of eating ice cream for breakfast. A habit she obviously didn't indulge in often. The skimpy shorts and cropped tee she'd worn provided tantalizing views of smooth skin. Still, she'd pushed the point, practically making love to the spoon as she devoured strawberry ice cream. His weakness. He'd awakened more than once over the past weeks with a raging hard-on, dreaming of her breasts covered in his favorite dessert, and him licking away every damn drop. His cock swelled. Irritation simmered. He had a company to run, races to win. He didn't have time to screw around with Tabitha Drake. Two people in front of him and four behind grumbled about the delay. He could have bypassed this step, but he and Devin agreed, as heads of the company, they would set the standard. Bode Win International had a rep for tough procedures, allowing them to win prime government and private security contracts. The guard held up a makeup bag, pulsing with vibrations. "What's in here?" "Calm down and read what it says." Tab pointed. "Naughty little wishes. Are you with me?"
"Oh, I'm with you."
The guard pulled pink, furry handcuffs from a designer bag. A woman in line snickered. "I guess somebody's not getting their afternoon special." That's it. His staff had better things to do than watch her for entertainment. Drew cut the line. Alarms blared as he set off the metal detector.
"Mr. Bode."
The expression of the guard holding the goods morphed from amusement to solid professionalism.
"We heard a buzzing noise, sir, and I found..." "I know exactly what you found. Take her to your office."
"You're detaining me? I'm not carrying anything illegal or dangerous." The guard led her away, and a familiar feminine scent, arousing, seductive, accusing, lingered. Drew breathed a curse. This had nothing to do with the damn barbecue. This was about her raking up shit in his backyard and trying to get away with it. He turned to the other guards at the X-ray machine. "Clear this line, now." Everyone snapped into orderly action, including the employees in line. Assured security had the situation under control, he stalked to the office. The guard left the room and shut the door behind them. Tab folded her arms and her breasts swelled. A glimpse of sheer lace and the flawless fit of the dress invited him to fill in the blank about what else she wore underneath. Not a thing, or the skimpiest panties known to man. She glanced at her things lying on the desk,
and her green eyes narrowed with a defiant stare. What was she up to? Makeup-shaped sex toys? Furry handcuffs? Condoms with the words, "Bite me," stamped on the packages? A vision of her cuffed, writhing in ecstasy under some faceless guy rolled in like a bad storm. Her best friend Jasmine had flown in from Texas to check on Bodwin's employee wellness program. Tab had probably stopped by to tell her the juicy details of her latest escapade. He held up the cuffs. What the hell is this? Your new hobby? Tab smiled as if she'd swiped the keys to every thought in his mind. Wouldn't you like to know? Don't antagonize him. Jasmine had made her promise. Friends since the age of 7, she knew her too well. Right now, Jasmine probably sat at her desk, spidey senses on overload, wondering why she hadn't made it upstairs. She would have missed him if the guards hadn't played show-and-tell with her purse, or if she hadn't stared at him in the parking lot, but she couldn't help it. A month ago, when Jasmine described him as the serious type, she'd neglected to add on man-candy. Tempting, infuriating man-candy. He'd shown up at the barbecue in a suit and tie, supposedly on his way to a meeting. His too-busy-for-fun attitude grated on her nerves. He'd actually gone into health nut speak about not eating junk food. Really? At a freaking barbecue? Darn right she'd dropped ice cream on her boobs when he'd said he didn't indulge in sweets. He needed someone to shock him into the real world. He had too much potential not to have a life. His broad shoulders and lean waist screamed he had a hot body, but he hid wonderfulness underneath snooze-fest brown suits and white button-down shirts. And why the red power tie? So overplayed. With his cockiness and natural presence, he didn't need a crutch. If he were one of her style clients, she'd make sure to highlight all of his best assets. Gray tailored suit paired with a blue shirt and a navy blue silk tie with a hint of pattern. It would fit nicely with his dark hair and classically gorgeous face, minus the scowl. Jeez, what did he have planned next? A pack of drug-sniffing dogs and a strip search? You better have a good explanation. Drew unbuttoned his suit jacket and laid his hand on the desk. His shirt molded to his pecs, and her mind went rogue with possibilities. Him dressed in a torso-hugging t-shirt and faded jeans. What about low-riding board shorts and an unbuttoned linen shirt revealing sculpted abs? Or in nothing at all? Stop panting. Yeah, he rated damn near spectacular, putting him in the lust category of doable. Maybe stay all night with breakfast thrown in the next morning doable. But if she did sleep with him, she'd have to redress him and burn his old clothes on fashion principle. Not a good idea. She'd barely gotten off Jasmine's shit list over causing him to leave the barbecue with his boxers in a bunch. Or did he wear briefs? I want an answer. Why are you carrying all this stuff in your purse? Another shame. He needed a refresher on what to do with his mouth. Those kissable lips were created to make magic anywhere, everywhere. His hazel brown gaze locked with hers, primal, sexual, like he did know how to deliver what those lips promised, a demand to open for the deep, delicious sweeps of his tongue. Pulses spread through her middle, and she squeezed her thighs shut. Do you really want to know? He stopped, leaning on the desk. Cold irritation melted the warmth radiating between them and the heat from his gaze. Save it. You cause any more trouble, I'm tossing you out. Seriously? Not unless you want an introduction to the pointy end of my Manolos. She stuffed her belongings back into her purse. You ran from the barbecue with your tail tucked between your legs because you couldn't handle the conversation. Now you want to give me a hard time over it? Sorry, you'll have to find someone else. I don't play the arrogant jackass game. He crowded her space, and the scent of his cologne, a mixture of citrus and amber, surrounded her. She caught herself swaying toward him as she soaked it in. Damn, why did he have to smell so good?
I didn't run.
A deeper scowl sharpened his jawline.
I left because I had a meeting, and I don't play stupid games. Now answer the question.
Don't antagonize him, huh?
She wasn't the one who poked the bear this time.
The latest from Lady Gaga. Jasmine's ringtone blasted from her cell. Tab swallowed the wake-up call hovering on her lips.
You want an answer?
She picked up a bite-me condom left on the desk and slapped it against his chest.
Read it.
Pushing past him, she slung her purse over her shoulder and marched out the door.
Chapter 2.
I'm out. Full from the eggplant parmesan she'd ordered at the Italian restaurant, Tab pushed the half-eaten slice of chocolate cheesecake across the table. Jasmine, a die-hard chocoholic, dove in.
Brat. She could afford it.
The burgundy wrap dress Jasmine wore fit perfectly. Based on the sparkle in her eyes, she was excited about her upcoming trip to South Carolina to see Ethan. His demanding job as a security contractor for Bodwin, and Jasmine living in Dallas and managing a hectic business travel schedule, didn't make it easy. Somehow, the two found a way to make it work. Jasmine would need the extra calories for all the horizontal workouts she'd put in with him over the next 2 weeks. When Jasmine and Ethan were together, they couldn't keep their hands off each other. Tab smiled and sipped coffee. Score another win for the birthday dare. She and Jasmine started the dare tradition when they were 8 years old. Since then, their challenges had led to more than a few wild escapades. 4 months ago, she'd given Jasmine a birthday dare to get over her former fiancé, asshat-cheating Greg. All it took was a one-night stand in Miami, and karma delivering a swift kick past heartbreak for Jasmine to land the best present of her life. Ethan. Jasmine's cell buzzed on the table. She glanced at a new text. The rumor mill is on fire over Drew kicking you out.
He didn't kick me out. I left because he went crazy dictator on me.
Tab tapped a manicured nail on the table.
Show me where it states in Bodwin's corporate manual a woman can't have a sex toy in her purse.
It probably is after today, Ms. Freakster. Jasmine smoothed dark bangs from her forehead.
And it wasn't just one toy. You're hauling around a whole sex kit.
I know it's hard to remember with your lust-fogged brain, but some of us don't have a boyfriend waiting to rip our clothes off. When I'm on the road, I enjoy a little discreet pleasure. I bought the toys on my way to the airport. I forgot the clerk pulled the battery tab on the lipstick vibe when she showed me the speed controls. How was I supposed to know the on-off button was so sensitive?
I suggest you remember that detail the next time you go through airport security or harassment is in your future.
Speaking of harassment, what scary nugget of wisdom did you give Drew?
What do you mean?
Don't play dumb. If he's as pissed as everyone says he is, I know you didn't calmly pack up your toys and walk out. What did you say?
Not much.
Define much. Tab pressed a napkin to her lips and peeped at Jasmine.
Damn, the patented stinky eye, guaranteed to wither all smart-ass comments.
Will you stop?
Jasmine's eyes narrowed.
Fine. I may have suggested he bite me.
Oh, real subtle.
It was a vibrator, not a bomb.
Did he get this upset when you and Ethan sexed it up in your office?
What?
Jasmine's golden brown face flushed.
For the umpteenth time, Ethan and I did not have sex in my office. Stop trying to change the subject.
She pointed with her fork.
You had to have the last word again, like at the barbecue when you smeared ice cream on your boobs. So what if I did? No one should have all those silly rules about food and sex. It's unnatural.
You shouldn't be so hard on him. The guy almost died in a car accident 5 years ago, and he's worked his butt off to get to where he is now. He's not bad once you get to know him.
You told me to stay away from him.
Jasmine snorted.
Telling you not to do something is an open invitation to dive right in. When a cute guy's involved, you lose all control.
No, I don't.
Jasmine's brow arched. The stockbroker? The lawyer you met in traffic court? The plastic surgeon who offered all your friends nose jobs? The accountant and the bodybuilding auditor who always did that thing when he...
She grimaced.
Anyway, ring any bells?
Yeah, guys with hot bodies she'd loved dressing and undressing until their hang-ups got in the way. She liked flexibility. They wanted to live by the clock. She enjoyed surprises. They couldn't handle the unpredictable. She liked harmless fun. They never quite got the joke. All of them hid behind their egos. They'd also shut her out when she refused to allow them to ignore the truth they needed to face for their own good. Andrew fit in as their long-lost brother.
Trust me, I'm not interested in Andrew Bode, especially after what happened today. Flash a few sex toys and minds sink into the gutter. They're not a big deal. I read the other day toy parties are becoming popular. In fact, I've been thinking of throwing you one for your bridal shower and adding in a boudoir photo session with the bridesmaids. Ooh, and the guys. Imagine how a sexy photo of Ethan and his friends would turn out. A vision emerged, and Tab dragged in an involuntary breath. Drew's defined chest and what she imagined as a flawless 8-pack of abs on display. A pair of Calvin Klein micro underwear molded to his promising package. Hazel brown eyes narrowed with a brooding look as he raked back his dark hair, full lips parted in the release of a sexy growl.
Whoa, hold on a minute. Jasmine glared.
You need to wipe that look off your face. You're not allowed to imagine my boyfriend half naked. And no one's talking marriage. We just started dating, but thanks for the heads up on the plan. I'm eloping.
Oh, please, don't go there. If you run, I'll track you down faster than a Botoxed ex-beauty queen hunting down a $1 million alimony check.
Jasmine gave her an exasperated look. A Botoxed ex? Where do you come up with this stuff?
Never mind. Forget I asked.
Your 28th birthday is coming up. Mess with me, and I'll dare you to walk down the street in a clown suit and heels.
Just so I'm coordinated, are we talking 1-inch kitten heels or 6-inch stilettos?
Smartass. Whatever. Jasmine and Ethan may not have realized it yet, but they were more than halfway to happily ever after, crazy in love. When they decided to head down the aisle, she'd make sure Jasmine had the best bridal send-off ever.
Jasmine's cell chimed with a call.
Sorry, I better take this. It's Vanessa.
Devin Wynn's assistant? She was a blast at the barbecue. I like her.
Good, because she's possibly my new, sane, best friend.
Jealous.
Jasmine shot her a syrupy smile and answered the phone.
Hi.
No, I'm having lunch with Tab.
Tab glanced at her watch. Nearly time to drive Jasmine to the airport. They didn't get much girl time these days back in Dallas. She'd set aside 3 weeks for her style consultant clients in Florida, hoping she and Jasmine would have a chance to catch up, but once again their schedules hadn't matched. 2 weeks from now, Jasmine would fly back to Texas, and she had clients to see in Virginia after leaving Florida. But it was all good. Jasmine having a couple of weeks with Ethan trumped everything. She deserved happiness. Tab toyed with her coffee cup. Maybe someday she'd get lucky in the guy department, too. But time with her clients often got in the way of serious relationships. She didn't have a psych degree, but closets made the perfect confessionals. Embracing change wasn't just about clothes. Her clients faced fears and found their motivation in life. As she got to know them, and more about their dreams, she offered advice and firm nudges in the right direction. Jasmine sighed in sympathy into the phone. I'm sure if you talk to Devin, he'll understand. If you're sick, you can't go to the party tonight. I wish I could take your place, but my flight leaves in a couple of hours. Are you sure you don't know someone who can fill in? A party with Devin Wynn? Definitely not a hardship. Unlike his partner, Devin was not only gorgeous, but he had a sense of humor and a stylish wardrobe. She could use a reason to get dressed up and mingle. Her first appointment wasn't until tomorrow afternoon. She could drive to Jacksonville in the morning. All she needed was a place to spend the night. Tab flagged Jasmine's attention and pointed to herself. Jasmine snorted in disbelief. Hey, what am I, a pig in a tutu? Tab raised her voice. She needs someone to fill in. Tell her I'll do it. Jasmine closed her eyes. That was Tab. I know. Gee, such a peach. Yeah, but she'll need a place to stay. Okay, I'll give her the keys. Uh-huh, I'll tell her. Bye. So? Tab smiled. Will Devin like me better in red or the fawn-colored dress I showed you? Jasmine gave her the patented stinky eye for the second time. He won't care. Chapter 3. Drew leaned in and pumped his legs faster on the Kestrel. His new love, sleek, gorgeous, capable of handling speed on the straightaways and hugging the curves. The power he generated with his legs flowed into the pedals of the bike. Wind cooled the sweat wicking from his blue and white jersey and cycling shorts. A fleeting sense of freedom rushed over him. He chased after it as he conquered the miles. A flash lit up the empty road and the surrounding trees, and rain began to fall. He'd forgotten his protective gear and his cell, a bonehead move, but after his call ended with Bob Harrison, he couldn't think straight. Their contract with Harrison Global officially ended a week ago, and the company still hadn't signed a renewal. Maybe. What the fuck did Bob Harrison mean with that answer? Bode Wynn had watched over Harrison's executives for 5 years. They'd even saved Bob from a kidnapping attempt in Brazil last year. Their personal history, all the clients he'd referred to Bode Wynn, it didn't make sense for Bob to consider other companies. The frustration he'd calmed during his bike ride rose to a low boil. She'd messed with his concentration. He wouldn't have lost focus with Bob on the call and screwed up negotiations if he hadn't run into Tabitha Drake. Bite me? That was third on the list of things he'd do to her if they ever made use of that condom, which they wouldn't. She'd start an argument about how to do it. Hell, she'd try to tell him how to handle his dick, and no one told him what to do with that or anything else in his life. From the look in her eyes at the barbecue, Tabitha viewed him as a tight ass, but he scheduled in time for enjoyment. He just didn't like chaos messing up the order of things. He knew how to keep his priorities straight, while she obviously... Fuck! Why couldn't he get her out of his head? Drew stood on the pedals and powered up the incline. His thighs burned. Quickening heartbeats echoed in his ears. Pushing harder, he crested over the top and sailed down the other side. As he caught his breath,
One fat drop of rain, then two, plopped on his helmet and rolled down his arm. He flexed his gloved fingers around the handles. Too far out to beat the storm. But that didn't mean he had to give in. Days of grueling therapy had taught him where to direct his strength. He had more than his share of experience in dismantling obstacles threatening to stand in his way. He ducked his head and moved smoothly through the gear changes. A strong wind shook the bike, and he realigned it with practiced skill. Rain fell harder. Repeated claps of thunder rumbled into the frame. The vibration stopped, but the rumbling grew louder behind him. Hairs rose on his nape. That wasn't Mother Nature stomping around in a bad mood. He cast an uneasy glance over his shoulder. A dark pickup truck barreled toward Drew, oversized wheels spitting up water and gravel. He steered to the right, and heat blasted over his skin. The Kestrel jerked over uneven ground. As he fought for control, the tires caught traction. He pitched over the handlebars and landed in a small ditch. Bark and gravel dug into his skin. He lay there, recovering the air that had whooshed out of his lungs on impact. Nothing felt broken. The side of his head sank, and cold muck covered his cheek. He had to move. As he rolled in the mud to his hands and knees, pain ripped through his left leg. He breathed through what felt like piercing daggers, waiting as it dulled to a manageable throb. "Hey, are you okay?" He blinked against the rain. As if he'd conjured her with his mind, Tab stood on the side of the road, holding an umbrella. A golden brown dress clung and fluttered around her thighs. He related to the look of shock on her face. Somewhere, God or the devil enjoyed the joke. She swiped auburn curls from her eyes. "Can you get up?" Sucking in a breath, he stood. His reconstructed knee held. He limped to the Kestrel, hoisted it on his shoulder, and picked up the bent front wheel. $5,000 down the drain. Good thing the driver kept going. Jacked up knee or not, he'd have kicked his ass for running him off the road. He climbed out. Tab stood next to a white sedan. "Well?" She raised her voice over thunder. "Are you going to stand there, or are you going to get in?" Drew felt the blood drain from his face. The passenger seat loomed in front of him. Why couldn't the rain rinsing off the mud wash away the panic worming its way through his mind? People assumed he always drove instead of letting someone else to show off his Viper and the other kick-ass rides he owned. On business trips, they accepted his explanation of a rental giving him more independence. Only his assistant and Devon knew what he faced riding in the passenger seat. "Keep it together, Bode." She wasn't Shayna, and they wouldn't be driving down an ice-covered road in Virginia. Making a conscious effort, he loosened his fingers from the wheel frame. "Pop the trunk." He stowed the bike, shuddered out an exhale, and got in the car. Tab started the engine, and he clicked the seatbelt over his pounding heart and took off his helmet and gloves. Out through the nose, in through the mouth. Or the other way around. Fuck, he hadn't needed to use breathing techniques in years. Dots of blood rimmed a rip in the side of his jersey, and his ribs stung. He squirmed, and throbs waved down his leg. Pain. Yes, he'd used it as a diversion in the past. As he massaged the vertical scar running from lower thigh to calf, eye-watering discomfort stabbed into his knee. Tab glanced at him. "Are you all right?"
"Eyes on the road."
"Don't yell at me. I know you're upset about picking grass out of your teeth, but that doesn't give you the right to tell me how to drive." She looked at him again, and his chest squeezed. The sounds of wind and rain faded into white noise as he forced slow, measured breaths. Tab steered the car around a long curve. He leaned into it, dug his fingers into his thighs, and stomped on the floorboard.
"Let me know when your brake starts working, and I'll stop using this one."
She huffed out a breath. "It kills me when people do that."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?